You're listening to FMGRadio.com. Hi, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Jody Colvard. Today I have a special guest for you. His name is Dr. Glenn Wollman. He's known as the Medical Guide. Now, this is part one of a series of conversations I will be having with Dr. Wollman about his Life Balance program. And as you know, FMG is all about life balancing media, so this is a perfect match for us. Dr. Wollman effectively uses a combination of scientific and holistic methods of treatment. This is the Western and Eastern styles. And today we will be discussing the topics of nutrition and the patterns in your life. For a full bio of Dr. Wollman, please be sure to visit my site, jodyshow.com, that's jodyshow.com, and then click on the guest tab and you'll see Dr. Wollman's full bio there. Now, it's my great honor to introduce to you and have on my show Dr. Glenn Wollman. Welcome to the show, Glenn. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
It's a privilege and pleasure to be here, Jody.
I'm really thrilled to have you on as a guest because everything that you're doing, it just sparks right along the line of what we're doing with FMG, which is life balance. Life in balance media is what we do. And I saw on your site that you talk about life balance and health and healing. And I was really attracted to that because I think that's what it's really all about. It's not just the physical part. It's all the different aspects of our life. And so I really was thrilled to have you on to talk about that particular subject because I think that when I go to a physician, most of them are just looking at the physical side, and I like that you start integrating the Western and the Eastern. So I like to have you just share a little bit about your background. Because I've read everything on your site, and I know that how interesting a person you are and where you've been. So I'll let you speak a little bit about that.
Might be more fun to hear your point of view of what I do, but I will gladly oblige you. I have been interested in medicine my whole life. I started out when I was 9 years old deciding to be a doctor, and that made everything very easy for me. I didn't have to worry about what I wanted to be, what courses I would take. So I was able to spend a lot of time in my life, although studying hard all through life to get into medical school and be a physician, it allowed me the opportunity to look at other healing systems, other philosophies, other ways of just viewing who and what we are. And in that process, I ended up eventually going through medical school and becoming someone that started or was in the first or second group of people that started a brand new specialty in medicine, which was emergency medicine. There were always emergency rooms in hospitals, but the people covering them were usually somebody that just had some spare time or needed to make a little extra money. There was no specialty. And right. What we did was, as a group of physicians, we developed it as a specialty. And in doing that, what it really became was we took every other specialty and took the critical or crisis aspect, and that became what we did as a specialty. And it's obviously very important because when someone is in a crisis, you want someone who is really an expert in that field. So we developed over time, we pushed the envelope, and it took a lot of struggle to change something, especially in medicine, which is, as you know, it's founded in deep roots and very hard to change things. But when we came in, we said, this is important. And one of the things that we did in emergency medicine was we started questioning everything that was being done, everything that we learned as here's a procedure, here's a treatment, here's the way we do this. We started looking at that and saying, you know, are we doing this because they did it when Hippocrates did it, and that's why we're still doing it, or are we doing this because there's science involved? And many of the things that we found is, there wasn't always that much science, but it just seemed to work at the time, so we did it. So I was part of a group of people that helped to change that.
And good.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be a part of that. And at the same time, I also, as I said, had a very deep interest in looking at other healing systems on the planet, traditional Asian medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, shamanic healings, and then some of the newer ones, chiropractic and homeopathy, mm-hmm. and naturopathy and Reiki, many, many different things. And what I learned was that Western medicine, in my mind, is clearly the backbone and the best for diagnostics and critical care and emergencies, but it's not necessarily the best in chronic care, although we're getting better, and it's not necessarily the best in prevention or immunizations, although we've done some great things in that. There's controversy in that, but I believe that we have done great things in some prevention. But it was also a way of looking at people, as you alluded to earlier. In Western medicine, we're more of a car mechanic philosophy, where if a red light comes on the dashboard, that's a warning. We lift up the hood.
Yes.
We look for what's wrong. We remove something, change a spark plug, change a hose, change a transmission, whatever. And then usually people get better from that. And some of the other healing systems look at it more in the way of a gardener, where if you have an apple seed, it's going to become an apple tree and produce apples. But what it needs is the proper nourishment and sunlight and oxygen and minerals and earth and water and things like that. So many of the other systems look at it a different way and say, you have your true nature, and your true nature is essentially to be healthy. And if something is wrong, we need to fix the oxygen and the minerals and the earth and the water, et cetera, and then allow you to get back to being what you are. So for me, neither one is perfect, but in combinations, they really bring a lot to the table in terms of healing.
I think that's the thing that really I like about your philosophy is it's so eclectic. It's one thing is not just the perfect solution, because a lot of these things have been around for centuries. And it's like combining all of these things together, because we do have the modern technology and advances in scientific studies, and to integrate those into what we've been doing for ages, you know, and using all things. And your analogy of the gardening is perfect, because we've been in the process of doing organic gardening right now, and it is, there's a lot of work to it. And it's like, I think that previously the people in the United States specifically have been where they would just live their lives, and then when something went wrong, then they would go to a physician and say, okay, fix me. And I think that the mindset is changing now, where people are seeing that preventative medicine. I mean, they have to really take care of themselves and nurture themselves and get to know their bodies. And that's what I like about the way that you do your medicine, is because it is learning. Each of us are so different, and learning our bodies and finding what works for the individual. I read that you were in China.
I've been in China, and I've been around Asia and Europe and a number of other places. It's important. And one of the things that is becoming more important about it, I want to say that I do believe in preventive medicine, in taking immunizations and doing the right things if you go to certain places. But the reality is that you really, first of all, we don't want to prevent medicine. We want to prevent illnesses and injuries.
Right.
And the truth and reality is that no matter what we do, we're never going to be able to prevent all illness and all injury. We just can't do that. So what I've added to the realm is what I call preparatory medicine. So aside from,
I like that.
Well, I combine it. I mean, preventive medicine is so good, but the process is you have to prepare yourself in case something happens. And in preparing yourself, you may actually prevent certain things from happening and learning different ways to prepare yourself, but also by being in the best condition, both physically, mentally, and spiritually, if you do come down with something or you do injure yourself, you went into it in the best way possible, and then I work with people and help them with tools to get through an illness or an injury. And that's something that we don't do as much in Western medicine, is help people to heal well. Usually the surgeon operates and they give you some medications to take on your way home and a few other things, maybe physical therapy, and they see you in a few weeks. But there's actually some science in healing, and there's a lot of techniques that can be done in healing. So preparatory medicine is something that I like to work with. And the way that I prepare people, and this is based on many years of being in an emergency department and working with healers around the world. I also started an hospital-based integrative medicine program where I live, and that was quite interesting and fun. But the things that I learned is that there are six categories for me that I work with to help people prepare and balance their lives. You spoke about life balance before,
right?
And that's very important. And those categories, and if you like, we could talk briefly about each of them.
Sure, please do.
But let me just mention them first, and if there's one more particular that you want to discuss, we can discuss that, or maybe at another time. But I look at nutrition, and clearly nutrition, we're finding more and more about the things that we eat and what we're putting into our bodies and how they affect our systems. Very important. Number two is exercise. How much, how long, how often, how intense, these are still things that we're questioning, but there's no questioning the fact that we do need to exercise to maintain health. The third category is sleep management. More and more we're learning that many things happen during sleep that are necessary for us, for learning, for restorative processes, and just recouping things that we either damaged or learned during the day.
So it is a healing process when you sleep, then?
It appears to be a healing process, and it's very important, and most of us abuse it as we abuse many of the other systems. The fourth category is stress management. You know, people talk about stress, oh, I'm stressed out, but they don't realize that stress is actually a set of things that happen to people when things go wrong. Our bodies are, and minds are designed to deal with stress. That's how our whole nervous system is set up, with a fight-flight process based on fear, and it's about survival. And that's used basically for a few moments, but if the stress continues, there are chemicals and hormones and things that actually do go on in the body that are deleterious and detrimental to our well-being and our health. So it has to be dealt with, and how we deal with stress. The next category is spirit. This is very unique to each person, and there's a lot involved in this, but it's definitely a category that needs to be addressed by everyone. And the final category is patterns of behavior. We're all about patterns, and we do certain things that are good patterns. You know, we brush our teeth. We look both ways when we arrive
across
at an intersection. Those are patterns, and they help
right.
us survive. But if we have a pattern of eating a bag of chips just before we go to sleep each night, and suddenly we find ourselves 100 pounds overweight and diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure, that's a pattern that has to be looked at. So I look at all of these categories, and you can't just address one or two of them. You can't eat perfectly and yet not get any sleep and be stressed out and think you're going to be okay. You can't exercise like a triathlete and not eat well.
Right.
I look at it in a way as a musical process. If you understand music and sound, when you play certain notes together, if they're in a perfect chord, it becomes a harmony, and it's balanced,
exactly.
and it's beautiful. If, on the other hand, you play a number of notes that the frequencies don't vibrate perfectly with each other, then you get discord, and it's not harmony. And when you,
it's not a song you want to hear.
It's not a song you want to hear, exactly. And when you, well said, actually. And when that happens in the body, if things are in harmony between body, mind, and spirit, then you're going to be playing beautiful music, and it'll be a nice chord. On the other hand, if your body is not in harmony, if your mind and your spirit are not in harmony, then it's going to be discord. And when you are not in harmony and when there's discord, that manifests eventually in some type of a disease state. And so when we in medicine, in Western medicine, we look at the first part of that. We look at things that we can cut out or look at under a microscope, take a sample, and evaluate it. And then based on certain things, we can treat that. But if you treat somebody that has ulcers, and we find out now that ulcers may be caused by a specific type of bacteria, we always thought it was due to stress, but now we know it's a certain type of bacteria, stomach ulcers most of the time. Mm-hmm. We could treat it with an antibiotic, and the person will get better. But if we don't get to what I call and what many people call a root cause analysis, we don't find the root cause, then that ulcer may come back. So we have to look at things on many levels for people, and we can discuss the different levels and the nature of all of this as we move on.
Yeah, one of the first things you started with was nutrition. You know, what we put in our body. So what we eat is basically what we are. You know, so the kind of foods that we eat is, you know, there's a lot of people that will count calories, but then it's like, what type of food are they putting in their bodies to accumulate those calories? You know, they're not getting the nutrition, the vitamins and minerals and things that they need. It's being really conscious of what you eat. I feel like a lot of things that I watch a lot of documentaries about the fast foods and the way that the American society has been eating. And I think that something's happening. People are starting to awaken to the fact of what they're eating. And hopefully we'll start seeing people change the way that they're eating.
We are seeing that. But it's very complex because especially with communication now and the internet, people can get a lot of information, but you don't always know what that information is. And sometimes different industries have reasons that they want to promote certain things, and they can influence people that can promote them in certain ways to tell us things. Mm-hmm. So it becomes very complex. You've seen this and, you know, it's not good to eat carbohydrates, or it's good to eat carbohydrates. It's not good to eat fats.
It's confusing.
It's very confusing, and that's why people need to really have some understanding and sometimes maybe get a nutritionist or a medical guide like what I do to actually talk with them about what is important. And nutrition, it's one of the first things that we have to do. It's, if you think about the body, just like a car, there's fuel. You could have a great car, but if there's no gas in it and no fuel, you're not going anywhere, even if it's the most beautiful car in the world. And the fuel is very important. That fuel starts it all off. And if we're putting in fuel that's been contaminated, or it's not at the high octane that we need, or in the appropriate balance that we need it, then our body's going to react sluggishly, or it's going to get sick, or many mm-hmm. things can happen. So the nutrition is very important. And more people now know that the intestinal tract is one of the biggest areas of the immune system of the body. They talk about around 80% of the immune system in the body comes from part of the intestinal tract. And if we are putting things in our intestinal tract that are sludging it up, just like in a plumbing or a tube of some kind, if there's sludge and things are not working correctly, then our immune systems may go down. And if our immune system goes down, then we get sick. And when we get sick, we're not feeling well, and we can't do all the wonderful things that our mission has designed for us.
It always amazes me when I watch commercials and you're talking about how certain things are advertised. There's this one commercial particular on TV that they say, if you know you're getting heartburn from pizzas and hot dogs and all these different foods, you don't get heartburn ever again. Just take this pill. But they don't say, don't eat these foods.
Right. That's true. It's so amazing. Marketing. I try not to watch too much normal television, but every once in a while it's good to check it out and see what we're all watching. But the commercials are the most fascinating
for
me,
they are.
Especially when it's about medicine. And this comes down to something that's more important probably than anything else we may discuss today. It has to do with people taking part of the responsibility for their own care. You said it before. You said, I have this or I have that. Just give me a pill. I didn't even want to know what's wrong with me. When I worked in the emergency department, people would come in with literally shopping bags filled with medications from multiple different doctors that weren't talking to each other and communicating. And the people didn't even know what the medications were. They may say, oh, yes, that pill, I think it's for my heart, or that's for my pressure, or something else. But they're not involved in it. And the key for me in working as a medical guide is to help people become more involved in their own healthcare plan. And what I mean by that is, we talked about those categories before, but people are intellectual and they understand intellect. But that is not where we need to be. We need to be about consciousness. And I always give the example of smoking. People intellectually, smokers can quote the Surgeon General's warning on the side of the package, and they can quote it verbatim, but they're still smoking. And it's only on that one day when they're in the bathroom and they cough and they see some blood go into the sink and they go, oh, I better do something. Well, maybe they wait for a week or a month or 6 months, and then they eventually go to their doctor. Their doctor gets an x-ray. They flip the x-ray up on the lighted screen, and they point out this dark black circle in one of the lungs, and they say, that's a cancer. And suddenly this person goes, whoa, I better quit smoking. They go from intellect to consciousness at that point. And most people, most of our species, or at least in the Western world, seem to not be able to learn things intellectually until they get slammed somewhere.
Well, I think that most people are always thinking, you know, this will never happen to me. You know, it's like the reality of things until it actually, they see something tangible in front of them. It's like, wow, you know, I saw this, I read this, but I just didn't think that it would happen, you know, because I've seen people like that before, especially like dealing with cancer. There's been like a denial. It's like, oh, this isn't cancer. They got it wrong. And then they realize it is in their system, you know. So I totally understand what you're saying about there's that connection. You know, I think that people need to get more in tune with their bodies. They need to take responsibility for that. And it's like there are those warnings out there, and they just need to start paying attention to them.
Yes, I really believe in my heart and in my experiences, everyone I know that ever went to medical school and everyone that wanted to be a healer, really most people go into that with really good intentions, and they want to heal. It's some things in the system have changed a lot of things, and because things are so complex now and there's so many more people and there's so many more drugs out there, that people do need to say, wait a minute, you know, this is becoming overwhelming. Nobody can take care of me as well as I want to be taken care of. So the best thing is prevention and preparation and being part of my own program. I've had people that have come into the emergency department, and I would start taking a history on them because they're having abdominal pain, for example. And I will say, have you ever had any surgery? Yes, I had an ovary removed. And I'll say, okay, which one? And they say, I don't know.
Wow.
Now, to me, this is part of your body.
They should know that.
And you should know these kind of things. And it's only maybe from childhood patterns of behavior where you go, ooh, blood, yuck, I don't want to look at blood. Even though it's your own blood, you should look. You should have some knowledge. You don't have to have all the knowledge that a physician has, but you should have some working knowledge so that when you actually have something go wrong, you can make some first impressions of what it is and then make decisions about how to deal with it. But then when you go to your doctor or your healer and they start talking to you, you will have a better understanding. And we need to stop thinking of the body as something foreign and someone else is going to be in charge of it for me. It's your body, and you need to be in charge of it.
I think that's very wise, and hopefully, you know, we start educating our society to really be more a participant in that. You know, it's like even like one of the things like with the internet today, I read all the medical sites, and I can if I have something that's I feel is not quite right with me, I read everything, and I don't go in and say, okay, this particular thing I have. I just look at what is possible, then I start looking at what I'm eating and what things that I'm doing that could possibly have caused this particular reaction. You know, so I try to evaluate myself. I know my own body pretty well. That you know, it's and I'm getting better at it, and I think that you're going to see more and more people as generations go by. You're going to hopefully this next generation of people will be more educated about their bodies. Do you see? Let me ask you this: as a physician, do you see younger generations being more responsible than the older generations?
I see, number one, that we have not reached critical mass yet. And I think within our species, there's always, in every generation, there is a bell-shaped curve. There are people that are becoming wiser and more interested in nutrition, and there are people that are still not doing the right things. But I do see that there are people out there that are becoming more conscientious and becoming their own health care provider, or as they should be their primary care doctor.
Right.
You know, rather than
Well.
counting on the primary care doctor, each person should be part of their own primary health care. And
I agree.
but I do see, I am encouraged and seeing a lot more there. You know, you go to there are now more farmers markets, and there's more organic foods and things like that, and people seem to be doing that. But even within those realms, sometimes the word organic can be a strange word. You know, we look at things that the sun is organic, and then they tell us, dermatologists say, stay out of the sun. But the endocrinologists say you need to have some sun for vitamin D to prevent bone disruption.
Right, so there comes that confusion again with people hearing, especially like things that they eat, the carbs and the low fats, and then the sun and all that. But I think maybe it's moderation or finding that balance between things.
That's right. I heard once, and I always love this, that everything in moderation, including moderation.
I
Yeah, so sometimes we need to do a little bit more. And the other thing is, I think it's important also to realize that it's still about life and living. So if we found out that there was only one food, you know, let's say kale, or some kind of a grain was a perfect food, and if you only ate that, you would be perfectly healthy. Sometimes that may not fit into life. You know, every once in a while, it may be good to have a pizza or something else, and just not eat the kale every day. So there is a balance, and we have to find that balance. And again, it comes back to a life balance. What I usually do with my clients is I start them on the 80% rule. And many people have different rules, and they're all good if they work for each person. But I say, you know, let's talk about nutrition, since that seems to be one of our major topics in our discussion today, is let's start looking at nutrition, and let's get you eating 80% correctly. And the other 20%, you can eat anything you want, any way you want, do whatever you want.
It's a good way to look at it.
And then what happens with people like that is they agree to that because that sounds reasonable. I'm not saying to them, you can't eat a Snickers bar anymore for the rest of your entire life. And they go, I don't know. So I say, you know, eat a Snickers bar on the way to the gym or eat half of one, and let's do the rest 80% getting you better. And then let's see how you feel after 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And what happens is, by being conscious and seeing how their body actually feels, tuning into their body, they say, well, you know, not only am I losing a little bit of weight, and I don't like to use the word losing weight, but I usually say gaining health, but not only are they dropping pounds, but they're also feeling better. And they, on their own, start to say, you know, maybe I'll go to 85-15. And then suddenly they're at 90% eating right. And they start seeing more and more things. And as you get more conscious about that, your own body and mind and spirit start taking you away from the things, because you tune in and you say, whoa, I had that food, and suddenly I didn't feel as good as I did when I had the other food. So you start putting that connection together, and on your own, you start thinking about better ways to eat. But I also warn people, or at least advise people, that sometimes, again, back to moderation, you can get so carried away with the types of food, the organic food, the this or the that, or the combinations of food. There's actually an eating disorder now that we talk about, where people are so obsessed with eating correctly that they get sick. You know, it's not just the anorexia or the bulimia or other types of disorders, but there's a new disorder that they're looking at now where people are so obsessed with eating so perfectly, it becomes difficult also. And even when people are traveling now or going, you know, the world is becoming more integrated. There are more cultures in every one of our aspects now than we've ever had before. So we have the opportunity today to eat Chinese food, tomorrow to eat food from India, the day after Middle Eastern food, you know, a number of other things. And if you're so finely tuned where you can only eat this and that and this and that, that if you eat something else, or you're in another country and you eat something that wasn't prepared in the manner that you have prepared it, sometimes that can affect you also, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's like I have a lot of friends that are raw foodists, and if they eat anything different than what they've eaten on their diet they've maintained, then they get ill. You know, so it's again, it goes back to, you know, it's that balance. And one thing I see in nutrition, and one of the last things that you talked about in the topics was like the patterns, food and patterns. I see those combined too. It's like there's emotional patterns because there's emotional connections with food. So like there's a remembrance of certain things, like maybe if you are like somebody's depressed, or if they have something that they need to connect with food and have a memory of one particular part of their life. And so they connect to these individual foods, you know. So once you break those patterns with the foods that you're eating and find something else to take that place to create new memories, then, you know, you can start changing the way that you're eating and do it in a more healthier way. Do you find that to be true?
Well, first, that's very wise, Jody. I think that food has so many aspects to it, based on regions, based on cultures, based on families. You know, food is not just about nutrition. Sometimes it's the time that families get together and talk and have conversations, and it's about rituals. So food is very rich, and societies, based on where they grew up and the type of terrain and climate, certain things are better for certain people. But I do believe that we need to, again, that's why I talk about one of the categories is patterns of behavior. The patterns of behavior relates to every one of these other categories, because when I work with people, it's the patterns of behavior that have gotten them into certain situations, and it's recognizing these patterns and looking for new patterns that will be the way that they can change and heal. So patterns of behavior, and especially around eating, but believe me, it's about everything. The way that you go to sleep is a pattern, and if you exercise, that's a pattern of behavior. We are all about patterns, and it comes down to this. The brain, you know, has a primitive part of the brain, and the autonomic nervous system that we have in our body is the part that does things for us. It breathes, it helps us to breathe, it helps us digest food, it helps us to be awake and to sleep, and our heart rate. it's all done on a subconscious level. If we had to think about every breath all day long, we couldn't exist. So there's a level of the brain that is about patterns. And think about it. Our heartbeat is a pattern. We beat a certain amount of times per minute. Our breathing is a pattern. We breathe a certain amount of times per minute. Our pH or our acidity changes throughout the day. They're all about patterns. And the brain seems to want to be in control. And when it's in control, doing its patterns, then things go well. So what happens is we develop patterns early in life about everything. And many times it's about just survival. We get a lot of information that comes into us, into our little 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year old brains that we don't understand. We try and assimilate, and we come up with a behavior that allows us to survive. And in surviving, that's what's important. And as we grow up, that behavior, which allows us to survive, which may not be a good behavior, but it did help at a certain time, we don't question it. So we just keep that behavior into adulthood. And what I do, again, with my clients is we look at these patterns and I say to them, you know, now that we're in this new technology age, I will say to them, you know, your brain and the nervous system and everything else, that's your hardware. That's what you have. But the patterns that you have, that's software. And those are early versions of something. So if we look at an early version and it doesn't look like it's helping within our hardware and it's also breaking down our hardware, maybe we can look for a new upgraded version of a behavior pattern. And people get that and then they start realizing that they can change a pattern. This was a pattern that they developed early on, and they watched their parents. You know, if mom got nervous and she would start eating something, then when you got nervous, you started eating
something.
You know, so you developed that pattern, and you never recognized it as a pattern, and one never questions it. And so as part of the process for me, when I see someone, the beginning, we look at many things and we go over patterns and we start looking at that. And then when we find patterns that are causing problems, we start evaluating them and we go slowly and try to figure out ways that someone can upgrade a version of a pattern.
That's a perfect analogy, because like working with computers, I understand the software part of it. And it's because we can change. A lot of people think, well, this is who I am, and I, especially as you get older, it's like, I've been this way for so many years, I'm not going to change, which is incorrect, because you can. I know when my mother passed away, I started craving a lot of foods that she would make, and it was an emotional connection with food and my mother. And so what I would do is I would go get that food, I would eat it, and it's like, is it this food that, does this food really make me happy? And it's like, it doesn't really taste the same to me anymore. And I would, analyze everything that I ate. And it's like, okay, it's not the food, it's emotion. And I'd have to try to put that in my head. And then what I would do is if I want to eliminate something from my diet, like for 6 months, I would not eat this one particular thing and I would find an alternative. So gradually I started replacing things in my diet that I ate when I was younger with healthier items. You know, so it's like it was a process to go through, and I'm still going through that process of eliminating and replacing. And it's like, and once you do it for a period of time, it is, their patterns change. And I noticed that I don't crave those things that I did before.
Yeah, cravings are a whole other aspect of what life is about. We have a whole new specialty in medicine, addictive or addiction medicine, you know, and this is because we all have cravings for various reasons. And you could look at things on many different levels, and we could look at things from somebody is craving a certain thing because they're lacking a certain hormone that gives them energy. And if they're lacking that hormone and energy, they find if they eat sugar, you know, that gives them energy, then they feel
energy.
Better.
Right.
And so there's lots
then they crash.
Yeah.
And then it's an endless cycle then.
There's lots of ways to do that, but it sounds like you in your process are going through the intellectual to a consciousness process, which is what needs to be done. Many blessings to you and congratulations.
Thank you.
On doing that.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to join us next week as Dr. Wallman and myself will be talking about exercise
and sleep patterns. Until then, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you soon.